racer Galen Smith, the Texas bounty hunter himself. I'll ask some racing questions, John will ask some rocking questions, and you can join our live chat during the show. Come up to racersreunion.com and join your pals. But without further ado, folks, Mr. Galen Smith. Galen, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here, guys. We appreciate y'all doing this, and glad we got the call to listen there and do a little interview with you.
Sounds great. Man, oh, man. Galen, you're one of our favorite racers at draglist.com. I was joking before the show, we devoted about a tenth of the website to you, and that's a 10,000-page website now. But literally, we have 51 different entries of your Outlaw Door Slammer cars from 1992 until today. So we've been tracking you. Danny White's been chasing you down for years, writing down all those notes.
Yeah, he's been, I think he's one of the first people that we ran across when we started racing. Him and his wife's always done a good job about keeping up and keeping things posted. It makes some of us smaller guys in racing feel good when we get to see that.
Yeah, Danny's awesome. I was looking through the drag list today just to see what all we had on. I found an interview he conducted with you several years ago. I think he still had the Camaro at the time. But I don't know if you remember that or not, but yeah, we still got that published. We never take anything down, so you're on there for many, many years.
Uh-oh, need to go check that one out to kind of refresh my memory a little bit.
Yeah,
we've had a few of them with him.
Well, we're not going to compare any notes tonight, so we don't have to double check.
good deal.
But you know, let me run through some of the categories. And now you're a door slammer man all the way, but check out these categories that Galen has driven, folks. Pro Street, Texas Outlaw Pro Mods, Quick 8, Texas Quick 8 Association, ADRL Pro Extreme, which is the most recent one of them, Outlaw 10.5, Outlaw Top Sportsman, Texas King of the Hill. Basically, you name it, it has some doors on it, you drove it down there.
Yeah, we've always loved the sport, and I've always kind of had a passion for all the heads up stuff. We actually bracket raced for a few years as well, and actually just came off one of the big no prep races in San Antonio this weekend. So if there's a race somewhere, and it seems like we're going to definitely try to make it, and been doing it for years.
Well, that sounds good. We'll probably be calling your name here in drag list, because old J.M. Hallis down there at San Antonio keeps us well informed with lots of great photos and stories. So yeah, we'll probably see in the pages of drag list from that race here in a day or two.
That'd be cool. Yeah, we didn't really do too good. Fought a bunch of weather and had an angry hot rod. It didn't act like it wanted to feel good all weekend, but we still enjoyed ourselves, man. Hats off to the guys and the crews up there just for making it happen. You know, solid rain almost for 3 days makes it tough on the drag racing scene.
Oh man, no doubt about it. Jeez. Well, speaking of that angry hot rod, tell us about your latest Texas bounty hunter. It's a 57 Chevy, big old KB motor, and walk us through that car a little bit, and maybe then compare to how that was compared to some of the first cars you competed in. It's like a rocket ship and a horse and buggy, isn't it?
Yeah, they've been kind of various hot rods since day one. You know, from the street days of driving one up the street to what we have now. And the 57's it's a Tim McAmis car, and it's about a little over seven year old car. But it's been a good hot rod for sure. You know, we run the big Hemi in it with the screw charger on it. Actually had a clutch in it for a while and bought it to run the ADRL PDRA stuff, and we still try to do what we can with it. But yeah, it's a little bit different when you go from a car used to 2.3, 2.4, you know, which we thought was good 60 foot, to this car here has actually been a 917 60 foot. And when,
wow,
you know, it'll pull over 3.5 G's with a, you know, which is a little bit stronger than a jet airplane. But getting used to that and getting it all rounded up from the ones we had in the earlier days, it was quite a jump. But it was fun. Good experience.
No doubt about it. Well, you got a little bit of aerodynamics on it. It's a pretty slammed 57, but compare that to like some of these jelly beans you're racing against out there. I mean, do you suffer a little bit from the aerodynamics and all the wings and all those points and stuff that those Chevy designers put into the 57?
Yeah, it's not the most aerodynamic car out there. We love the body style when it first came out. Josh Hernandez had one, and when we first seen it, we was like, man, we got to have one. But yeah, it does suffer a little bit. You know, the mile hour is never going to be like it, you know, would on some of the newer vets or even the older, you know, style Corvettes. I think are probably one of the most aerodynamic, some of the Camaros that they've done now. But yeah, the headlights and stuff on these cars to make it look, you know, kind of like a 57, which it's daylight and dark, I guess, if one's sitting next to it. But with the headlight buckets and the way they're designed, you know, with the points on the fenders, like you said, it kind of makes it like two small little parachutes up on the front. And, of course, the wing where the body comes down kind of messes with the back of it a little bit. But, man, we've always been into the older hot rods, and I've thought about selling it a couple times and moving into some of the newer cars, but it's hard to get rid of, man. Who don't like a 57?
That's what I'm talking about. You don't have to guess what it is when you walk up on it. That's for sure.
Mm-mm. If you get the front end off of it and like take the doors off of it, I had a guy this weekend ask me what kind of car it was, and I said a 57. You know, when I say 57, I just automatically think everybody knows it's a Bel Air.
Right.
He said, 57 what? I said, Chevrolet? He said, oh, okay. And he looked back for a minute. He said, okay, now I recognize the stuff on the quarter panel, because we do have the, you know, all the chrome that comes on a 57 that's airbrushed on there. But, you know, without all that on there, race car or not, it's not a 57.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, in America, I don't. You know, due respect to Ford and all those other brands out there, man. But as if it's a 57, we're basically talking about a Chevy Bel Air. That's it.
It's definitely got that. We got the Bel Air emblems and all. It's a pretty cool little hot rod. They did a good job on it up there.
Oh, it's beautiful. I was just taking, you know, a nice side view of it there in the poster John did, and man, that dude looks nice. It caught you right under the lights beautifully with that one shot.
Cool. I appreciate it. We try to keep it as nice as we can, but they do get dinged. It seems like every time you take them out, you got to fix a scratch or a little this, a little that. As long as it's not too bad, we'll keep going, and we got it. We just painted the flat back black color, and there's duct tape and all that color. So we try to keep it as good as we can.
Yeah, what you gonna do? Well, you know what? It ain't a trailer queen. This is a race car, folks.
It's a race car. Sometimes it acts right, and sometimes it don't. It's like a little teenager sometimes. But you know, that's why we drive them.
You want them to go the same way and sound the same way every time. You got to get a Honda Civic or something. This is a race car. It's an angry machine.
Yeah, like Melanie Troxell said, when she drove her first Pro Mod, she got out and said, they asked her what she thought. She said, these are like angry little animals. That's probably one of the best terminology I've heard to put of these things. But I have guys sometimes come over and tell you, hey, man, that thing went straight, man, went straight as an arrow. And all I can tell them is, yeah, we pretty much missed the tune-up on that one. Because if they go fast, they're not going straight. If they're not wiggling around like they're fixing to do something silly, then they're not going fast. So I guess it's part of it that you get used to. But that's, like I say, that's the enjoyment. It's adrenaline of it, because it's like sitting down in a different office every day. Whether a tornado carries you away or it's a hot rod, it's still a different ride.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, it used to be 8th mile, you didn't get that much speed, but holy cow, you guys are breaking, you know, 200, 210, 220 now. Some of the cars, it's just unbelievable. And it's coming up fast, man. Yeah, ever race on the quarter anymore, or are you pretty much restricted to 8th mile these days?
Well, we're pretty much, run the 8th mile stuff down here in Texas. That's about 90% of our racetracks. We went and did some testing over at the Motorplex and didn't have the fuel system right. The car wasn't real clean. You know, it was kind of raggedy from half track on. It still went 60, I think it went 609 or 606, I believe it was, at 238. And then, then I guess 2 weeks ago, we was out there testing on the 8th mile. And I actually shut it off at the 8th mile, and it went 621 at like 174. So you're really still cruising pretty good on the quarter. We don't have the big numbers to, you know, as running it all the way through, but about 99% of the stuff over here is 8th mile stuff. It's just a little safer. We run an Outlaw Pro Mod Association over here, and we have a ton of good cars and a lot of good hot rods, but some of them don't need to be strung out on the quarter mile. We don't want to get no one hurting these things, for sure. And you know, speeds like that, man, these cars were never designed to do that, especially you got a car that's 8 to 10 years old. They wasn't designed to run 200, and we've I've been over 200 several times on the eighth mile in this car, so we try to keep it safe, but keep it fun.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It seems like down there in Texas, you could pretty much, you know, run this kind of car all year long. I mean, there are millions of those cars and tons of places to race them, it seems like. But what does your season look like typically, beginning to end?
Well, we usually start, you know, late earlier when we started racing years back, you know, in the early 2000s, we didn't really start racing until we got into, you know, the April, and then all of a sudden they backed them up into March a little bit, and then, you know, with the weather we get up here, you know, this 90% of the time we don't get a good winter, so we actually have some races in February, and I think there's actually one in the end of January that we don't really start our season until, like I say, we went this weekend, which was the first race that we'd actually had this year, you know, which it wasn't a pro mod race. We went to a no prep deal, but you know, when the weather stays good, you know, we race year round, which is good, you know, because if you're a diehard racing fan, I mean, what do you do when the tracks ain't open, you know?
Right.
Keep everybody, don't get in trouble somewhere, but we start racing, and our actual first points race was supposed to be this coming Saturday, and over at Texas Raceway, and as you know, the city finally got their way and shut the track down, so our first points race is April 1st, but we'll race all the way to November, and then right after, you know, right into the November area, we'll, you know, of course, we'll take off for Christmas, unless it's an early race, and then we'll probably still try to make that one. But other than that, you know, it seems like it never stops. We shut our point series off, you know, obviously in November, and as soon as we get them freshened up, wrap back up, man, we're right back on the racetrack. So if you like drag racing, you know, Texas is a good place to be.
Well, I had a heck of a good time down there visiting Danny and visiting John. John's from Houston, been down that way, so. And seen about two or three of the strips, but not bad for a Yankee, I guess.
Well, I need to get up here sometime. We're actually building a new racetrack right here in Ferris, Texas, right off of 45 and 20. That ends a couple of our tracks have got shut down. We're building a real nice 8 mile track. Should be open by, you know, the September area. So we got a lot of good racetracks around here, a lot of good people that run them, and shoot, we got tons of good racers around here for sure. So anytime you want to come up here, no matter when it may be, you might as well show up, because there's something going to be going on.
That's right.
You'll see me. Danny told me about that strip in Paris, and we plan on going there. I hope we see you there.
Yeah, you let me know when y'all come. We'll sure come. I love that little racetrack, and Jerry Bobnell's ran it for years, and they actually shut it down, and we went to the last race they had ever. But another individual had bought it, and he's got it open back up, and he's working on it, which I'm glad he did, man. There's a ton of racers up there that didn't have nowhere to go. But, yeah, you guys come up here, man. If I know you're there, we're definitely going to come burn out for you.
Cool. Thank awesome. You. Well, we'll be looking you up. Hey, tell us, so let's get into some storytelling here, because tell us, you know, it doesn't have to be this season, but you know, about the most fun time you ever had at the strip, the most miserable and the craziest time you ever had out there.
Man, all of them've been a pretty decent time, but yeah, we've had some crazy things. We kind of slowed down. Back when the racing was there were so many racetracks trying to do things on the same weekend. We actually ran a race at Kennedale on a Friday night, and I went to the finals in that deal, and actually won the race, and then we left there and went all the way to Monroe, Louisiana, and raced Saturday night, and actually went to the finals at that race, and then we left there, and Sunday we went to Baton Rouge and ran that race. I tell you, having a job on Monday, it was we was all hyped up, but coming home Sunday night, man, we was like, shoot, we're out here rolling like rock stars, everything but, you know, the money and the women. But we had, you know, you don't think about that when you're trying to go racing. But man, we've loved a lot of these little races we've popped into, you know, some of the, you know, like we went to the Cajun, I can't even think of what it was called, up in Baton Rouge, just kind of a last minute little trip, you know, three or four of us hopping the truck, man. Some of them little trips like we used to do, you know, I guess right now, you know, they're so, you know, the rigs have gotten bigger and the crews have gotten bigger, but we all still enjoy, and I got a heck of a bunch of guys that, you know, and girls on our crew that we still enjoy, you know, just about everything we do. So we probably got some good stories. I probably can't think of everything off the top of my head, but man, there's always something going on just dang near at every race we go to that's memorable, you know, for sure.
Right. Well, when we get on down there to see you, we'll crack open a couple of Lone Star Long Necks and talk about it. That's what we'll do.
There you go. I tell you what, them right there sure bring some crazy stories out. Most of them's even true.
That's right. Yeah. Unbelievable. Well,
that would be fun.
You spoke about some of the folks on the crew to help you out. You got want anybody you want to holler to right now while we have you on the air?
I don't know. They were supposed to be a few of them that was supposed to be listening tonight. But I've got a pretty nice crew and bunch of good dedicated people, man. That's what definitely makes my team go around. Everybody else is for sure that's got them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they may be hollering in or something here in a minute. You never know.
Well, I mean, we have very little time for phone calls in, but if you wanted to give some shout outs to the folks individually, if it's too big a group, I think you just told them all hello all at once, didn't you?
Hey, there you go. Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, I got my wife and Celeste and my daughter Ashley, and she's got a grandbaby, a little Harper, that we're trying to break her into the racing deal. But we got, you know, I got Rex and Mary, Jim, and Charla, my sister, you know, she's became a big part. Of course, my whole family's always been a big part. So, you know, Dave and Kelly, and, man, you name off all of them, you know, Craig, Nicole, man, we it's kind of fun when you can get them all together and really go enjoy yourself, because not only do we race, you know, we're all kind of like a small family, too. Probably mm-hmm. actually a large family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the things I was looking at in the interview Danny did with you so many years ago is you were talking about how Celeste is looking out for you, kind of the mother hen of the team, and I suppose that's probably still the way it goes.
Yeah, if you show up and your socks don't match, she's going to get on to you. she keeps it organized, you know, keeps everybody in line. But we kind of try to help each other out as we go. You know, as long as you know you got a good team, when everybody you know kind of watches your back, no matter where you're at or what you're doing, and you got to be comfortable as a driver when I get into the car, knowing that. You know, the team that I have, you know, Rex, Jim, you know, Craig, Dave, you know, they're all, I trust all of them 100%. I ain't got to worry about nothing left off or anything right. fixing to happen, because these cars are too fast for mistakes. So, yeah, it makes a lot of difference. We watch each other's back and we make it happen. That's for sure.
I love it. Well, I tell you what, it's so great to talk to you. One more, another guy that makes things happen is Johnny Bockelman, and I'm going to turn you over to John and to ask some rocking questions and find out what the music thing is with Mr. Galen Smith.
Yeah, Galen, we'd like to know what y'all's favorite kind of music is.
Man, I listen to a little bit of everything, you know, the pop rock, the country stuff. But man, one of my favorites is out there has got to be old David Allan Coe. You know, some of the songs that he has, it keeps us, we can plug him into the radio, and it keeps us rolling down the road for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, he played down in Galveston here recently. We were playing there the same night, and he was about two blocks away, and we could hear him just fine from where we were.
Well, I tell you, I've never been to one of his concerts, but I could imagine.
Yeah, he's still going strong. He plays Houston a lot. And, of course, they had him in Galveston. I think it was for it was around New Year's or Dickens on the Strand in December or something like that. It was the last time we played in Galveston for that. But, no, David Allan Coe is a living legend, and he's still got it going on big time, man. He's just rolling along. Just fine. When you go to the races, is there a song that ever – gets you pumped up in your mind to go out there and compete at your highest level?
The Ride. You know which one I'm talking about, David Allan Coe? The Ride?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorites with him.
Well, I'd say it's a fitting song for your hot rod, because that is a radical machine, man. That thing does look great. And, you know, as far as concerts or anything like that goes, you've been to any concerts lately?
Man, I haven't been to a concert in so long. We go to some of these little restaurants around here, especially when it rains out, not racing. Some of them's got their little local bands, but most of them, you know, do the, you know, got people in there that kind of do all kinds of sorts of different songs. And we usually try to get in there and try to listen to some of that. Like I say, he's one of my favorites, obviously. And most of them know a few of his songs, a few of them don't, but Yeah, I'd love to get out there. I need to get loose out of these hot rod shops. You know, we're trying to be too much of a gearhead these days and kind of cut loose and get into one of his little concerts. I know I'd really enjoy it myself.
Really?
Music, yeah, music's you got the only that thing right. That kind of keep you insane sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I play in a band. We're the theme of the band is music for all occasions with class. Well, the leader of the band is Pee Wee Bowen, and he makes sure that we do a mixture of country and old-time rock and roll and soul hits from the 50s and 60s and some blues. That's about as far as we get. We don't advance beyond that stage, but the band's real popular, and we do some Merle Haggard and some Hank Williams and George Strait when we do country, you know, and that's part of the culture here, you know. What part? Are you in Texas?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm just south of actually Dallas, Texas, and just a little bit east of Fort Worth right there. I'm actually in Mansfield, which is right there kind of in the middle of Dallas, Fort Worth.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
See, what we got to do is whenever you get down to Houston Raceway Park one of these days, we got to get you hooked up with John and see Pee Wee Bowen, man. And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be playing down there.
We'll do a little cultural exchange. John can go to the drags, and you can go see some rock and roll.
I can't think of a better weekend.
Let me know when. We'd sure like to come look at that band you're talking about right there, man. That's the ones we like going to. We like hearing guys like you guys.
Thanks, Hedlund. We're going to be playing in Kemo on the 4th of July, and we play down in Texas City every month, and right down there in the Galveston Bay area, mostly, you know. But we are playing in Dallas in August. I think they're having us up there for a Labor Day thing at this. I can't think of the name of it, but it's on the northwest side of Dallas. It's a gated community, and it's a private deal, you know. But we drive up there and play their gig, man, because they pay us well, and it's just a lot of fun.
Now, if it's a non-race day, maybe we'll get a couple tickets to Galen and his team there.
That's right. I don't think we don't have a whole lot going on in August up here right now. We kind of laid a bunch of the few of the races back because of a few things going on, obviously the heat and all. So, yeah, I definitely need to keep up with that and come see you guys.
There you go. Well, I'm going to hook you guys up, and when we get off the show, we'll make it happen.
Anyway, I sure appreciate it.
Galen Smith, it's been so great to talk to you tonight. You know, been following you for years through Danny and through the pages at draglist.com and, of course, through the mags and online. But so great to talk to you. A real, real pleasure, sir. Have an awesome year. And we look forward to getting together and having those Lone Star Longness with you.
Sure. Just let me know, man. I sure appreciate it, man. Sure nice talking to you guys. And if y'all ever in the area and want to come to one of the top events, Motorplex, San Antonio, or Wichita Falls, anywhere, man, please let me know, and I'll make sure there's tickets for you and get you in. We'll try to take care of you.
Thank you, sir. We will take care of you.
Just let me know.
Looking forward to it. Ladies and gentlemen, Galen Smith, the Texas Bounty Hunter. You don't get a chance to miss him if you get a chance to see him race down there in Texas. Fabulous. Let's turn it over to John for JB's Take and this week's Racer of the Week. John, take it away, sir.
Thank you, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Matthew Seamarks from Rushton, United Kingdom. Matt was recommended to me by our friend Andy Cowan of CNC Engineering in Kenilworth, Warwickshire. Thanks, Andy. Matt Seamarks has an excellent Super Street hot rod. It's a 1956 Ford 100E, right steered, with a small block 383 Chevy engine. The car was built in Rushton by Chris Bishop, and he raced it in Pro ET and Super Gas for a couple of seasons. Since Matt acquired the car, he's run a best ET of 10.55 at 127 miles an hour at his home track, Santa Pod. He's an old school racer. Matt told me he runs this class without stops. He uses no trans brake, so in turn, no delay boxes, not even an MSD. It's a full no gadgets car. He told me they teach juniors to race without all the gadgets, so why not keep racing that way? He said only last season he connected a shift light for the first time, but only as a gauge for him to try to beat the light to the shift. Now, last year at the Euro Finals, the car suffered a catastrophic engine failure, and Matt said they still don't have enough money to build it back up yet. He needs a new block, pistons, and rods, but he added there's no point in building the same engine over again, so he might as well try to build a better one. His engine program has come to a standstill without having a usable block available to him at this time. It will more than likely be next season before he returns if he can't find some sponsors. Now, if anyone would like to help with sponsoring the car, please do get in touch with Matt, whichever side of the pond you're on. Matthew C. Marks on Facebook. Matt had me make a full-color handout to help him with his trying to put together sponsorship proposals. He's racing on a very tight budget. Sometimes he has to run the series on less than £1,000 a year, and that's not a lot of money for a whole lot of racing. I hope he can find a good backer because he has potential. He's a hard worker with great focus and attitude. He asked me to remove the Union Jack on his graphic and replace it with the St. George flag, which is the original English flag. And I was happy to do that. He has the British Bulldog spirit, and it's in keeping with his approach to his drag racing efforts. The Gingerman Racing logo was also added at his request. It's one of my favorite logo designs. Matt said thanks to his mom and dad for all they do and continue to do. Matt said he wants to come over to a race this season, and I told him he's welcome to stay here with us at the Shrine to Bad Taste. He lives the life of a mechanic, and he told me the Shrine would be perfect for that. So I'm hoping he can make it over one of these days. Matt, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. JB's take, everybody. Good stuff. Hey, this is our sad duty, which we share every week, and very, very close to home this week, but lost friends. On the 7th, Monty Smith was a nitrous innovator and working with the racers at South Georgia Motorsports Park. Monty passed away on the 7th. Farewell to him. And on the 11th, this one terribly, terribly close to home, Brian Beatty's wife, Lois, passed away on Saturday. After a long and courageous fight with cancer, we'll be holding a memorial service up in McCungie, Pennsylvania on Thursday. Brian, of course, is the guy who has a longtime photographer for Division One, who has rebuilt the Great Expectations front motor top fuel car of Jim and Allison Lee. If you look on Drag List, you see lots of pictures of us. I interviewed Brian, and I talk with him all the time. I interviewed him at the York US 30 reunion this last summer. Just a wonderful guy and a wonderful lady. And Lois has had cancer for quite some time, but she battled it all the way to the end. But she did pass on Saturday. And our thoughts and prayers with Brian Beatty. Also, Don Ness, the famous chassis builder for Pro Stock Cars, has been put in hospice care. And prayers to Don. And hopefully he's comfortable and doing the very, very best he can. In that situation. Folks, I want to wrap up the show. Let's thank Galen Smith. Fabulous interview. Really enjoyed it. John Bachleman, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer, as always. Have a great week. We're going to see you next Monday night as we feature Bakersfield March Meet Nostalgia Top Fuel winner, the Nitro Kitty herself, Ms. Mendy Fry. We had Mendy on the show several years ago. Very entertaining. And now she's a winner of the legendary March Meet. We will get Mendy on next Monday night. Folks, have a great week. We'll see you then. Bye-bye. Down on the border late one night, my friend and I were in the white spotlight.